Hi, this is Paul. I'm back from another week of vacation. I'll have approximately another week here in Sacramento, a week plus a little something, and then I'm off to Europe for the Europe trip. I'll talk about that a little bit. I just didn't have time today to do a full-blown video. The Jordan Peterson, Jonathan Peugeot, John Vervaeke video I was able to listen to on the plane yesterday, and I thought the conversation was excellent, and I've got a ton to say about it, but I just don't have a lot of time today to dig into it. I think it's a big step forward on basically the movement of this corner of the internet. I can't not do something with it. Hang on. As is often the case with a lot of these, it's often good to start sort of at the end, because it's only at the end, at the beginning of a conversation, people are sort of finding each other again. How's this going to go? This conversation started with a list of things that Jordan wanted to sort of test with John and Jonathan. That was sort of the launching off point, and it went in a lot of good directions. A lot of this conversation focuses on narrative, and when I get into this video at some point, there's real reasons why that becomes a sticking point. There's anxiety about Christian hegemony, and there is anxieties about pluralism, and both of those, for a lot of people, are sort of the same anxiety. But where the conversation ends, I think, is a really good place in terms of trying to figure out, in my opinion, what this so-called little corner of the internet is about.
What I'm trying to do, what I'm proposing is, I'm trying to do like a historical thing where I'm trying to look at all of the ways in which, it's like the glass, we can get the multi-aspectuality of Neoplatonism by seeing all the ways it was able to reciprocally reconstruct with Christ.
And you know, John, each of us is having our own interesting journey through this little corner of the internet, and everyone's journey is fascinating to me, but John's is particularly fascinating because when I look at the themes he spoke about, let's say 4 years ago when we first started talking, and how it's continuing to develop and how it's sort of forming around Neoplatonism, a couple of the comments that Jordan made to John in this video and also in their previous conversation, very interesting. Jordan can see change in John as they go. It's harder to know with Jonathan, but, you know, Thunder Bay is coming up in September, where Jonathan and John and I will get to meet for the first time, and I'm really looking forward to that event. If you haven't bought your tickets to that event at this point, I talked to Catherine today, who's organizing it. She said there's about 100 or so tickets that have been sold. They have space for about 300. So if the group stays smallish like that, then there will be a lot of opportunity to, to hopefully have a little bit of time with the individuals that are there. So I want to keep going with this.
Aristotle, or with Christianity, or with science, or with Islam.
Right. So you're taking snapshots of that in some sense, in the same way I'm trying to do that with the notion of what's at the top in the narrative sense using the biblical corpus.
Exactly. And I'm trying to find the through line, the historical through line for Neoplatonism, because I don't, this is maybe where Jonathan and I disagree, but I think we do it in at least a loving manner.
Well, or don't understand each other fully.
It's possible. But what I wanted to state is your metagame. Me participating in the dialogue is more important to me than continuing the right relationship is more valuable to me than coming to the right conclusion.
Right, definitely.
That's an enormously important sentence. I don't know that it's, because the manner in which we participate is in some ways then a big part of the destination, which to me sort of leads into a very Christian eschatology. So I think that's a hugely important thing. And again, I think that is part of what has been essential about this little corner of the internet, in that sometimes people will point out that, you know, maybe maybe someone will say, well, I should go after each of them, Jordan or John or Jonathan, about this or that thing that they are saying or they are doing. And, well, you know, there are always disagreements, but if you're really going to build a relationship that can not only handle the disagreements, but process them productively in a way that all parties come out and say, I may not fully agree with them, because which of us fully agrees with which other one of us, but they have certainly made me better than I was before. And what do we mean by better? Well, it's, again, a big part of this. Gosh, I don't have time to do this whole thing, but it's part of the reason I started at the end, so I wouldn't be tempted to just, you know, start getting texts from my family. Where are you? It's dinner time.
Okay.
Definitely.
So I just wanted to state that.
Well, that's a good place to end, I think. I mean, we got a long ways through this. We'll try to figure out, perhaps, after we think about this for a good while, what we might do to continue it, because there's a few propositions here that I think are relevant. I just might share them with people that we didn't get to. Any hierarchy that is unified is made so by the demand at the top of maybe this is something that you personally thought of.
I want to sort of skip some of this content until I can actually deal with the content.
What do you say? Add all of those. And so those are propositions which I would like to unpack with you guys. And then there's something that's more specifically Judeo-Christian after that, which I won't get into now because I think it would be a distraction. So, well,
that was quite a conversation. I'll come to Toronto anytime for this.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think we should think about doing it again. We'll start halfway through and see if we can get to the end.
I think that would be very good.
Yeah. Well, it's really, really. See, a lot of what we're doing is we're differentiating the propositions, right? It's like, yes. Well, here's the proposition. Here's its complexity. And there's some real utility in just seeing the full complexity, walking through it.
I mean, this is also, right, this is also, I think, a genuine act of fellowship or even friendship, because the more you do that, the more...
And right there, again, back to the point of relationship, that, so I'm preaching, I'm still working on my sermon for this Sunday. It's got a long ways to go. But it's the Thanksgiving at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. And anyone who knows anything about Paul's two letters, or three, depending on however many letters Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and however many of them we have, we know that their relationship was strained, that Paul believed that there were significant issues in the church of Corinth that needed addressing. But Paul begins this first letter, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 4 through 9, with a significant section of thanksgiving, because Paul is trying to create the relational platform that can sustain the kinds of transformation that he believes the church at Corinth needs to go through in order for God's work in the world to come to its completion. This is why I miss having this little tool when I go away, because I've been spinning my wheels on this sermon for the last number of hours, and here I sit here and sort of forced to sort of look and listen to virtual you. I come to a better summation of what I want to say about the meaning of that little section of scripture than I was able to do as I was working on my outlines, et cetera, et cetera. But I think at heart there, and within this conversation, I think Jonathan nicely connected that with the Trinity. Within this conversation and in this little corner of the internet, and what Estuary is about is, in fact, creating space for processes like this. Now, one of the things I want to do in sort of, before I even dig into the content, I don't know if I'm ever going to have time to do this, dig into the content of this video, is talk about the abstract nature of so many of these conversations, which I think is tremendously productive for people who can deal with these kinds of abstractions, but is of limited utility for 95% of the rest of the population. And it was in John Vervaeke's conversation with Jonathan Peugeot and David Fuller that I think John nicely talked about that as sort of being the realm of the church, and John understands that. And of course, as a minister and a pastor in a church, I know this because, again, to swing back to sort of some of the themes in this, it, and in the Vervaeke, Peugeot, David Fuller conversation, the question of embodiment, it has to be lived out, and all of this abstraction is sort of a necessary part for a certain layer, a certain level, a certain sub-community of the people, but it's by no means the most important community, because in many ways it's critical, but unless it becomes embodied and rolled out into the living matrix of humanity, and this of course happens in populations that are scaled, of the highly intelligent and the low intelligent, of the all across the temperamental spectrum, unless it sort of rolls out in real community and even gets somehow mapped inside of us and taken into and worked through in real relationships, it is in that way, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, a clanging gong. It is a noisy cymbal. And of course, 1 Corinthians 13 is the great chapter on love. And this conversation talks a fair amount about love. And so, again, I think this conversation here was, I think, a huge step forward. This is a conversation that I've been waiting for them to have. And in some ways, I've been waiting for them to have it. So I think this is probably, for me, the most important conversation, with the possible exception of the early Wave 2 Peterson-Peugeot conversation, which was a critical one. Peterson-Vervaeke was good, but there were real issues with that in terms of a number of things. But maybe since the biblical series, I found this release from Jordan probably one of the most helpful. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise, because he's working through these propositions that I think are key to his overall project of what he just described, of using the biblical corpus to I think, get a bigger view of the world.
Responsive, you can make your argument, right? This is also, I think, a genuine act of fellowship or even friendship, because the more you do that, the more responsive you can make your argument to people who want to engage with it.
And that's the issue of scale. And even it's just the beginning of the issue of scale.
Of course. That's exactly, we're trying to get to a diverse range of tools that are grounded on something as rock solid as we can manage.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Then
we don't need
a
hermeneutics of suspicion.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. That was
hey, my pleasure, man. I'm so glad you guys could come and that we could be together finally in person. And I think the conversation was a lot more dynamic and deeper than we would have managed on Zoom.
Absolutely. And maybe that's a good way to transition. I released a video today of some of the organizers of what we're going to be doing in the Netherlands, and that's sort of first off when I get to Europe. And in that video, I have a bunch of links that, of course, we have the kickoff of the Dutch Estuary, which will have a conversation between myself, a Dutch theologian, a Dutch journalist, and John Van Donk, and Sarah will be hosting that. She's hosting it. I think it's near the theological seminary at Utrecht. So that will be in the Netherlands. And then we'll have the German festival coming after that. which I'm tremendously excited about. And then in Benbury Prior, we will have the conversation with Paul Kingsnorth and Calvin Robinson, and I don't know the third woman, but looking forward to that. I'm sure Mark has that, you know, very well set up. He's a terrific organizer. And then the day after that, actually fly into London and having a conversation with first having a conversation with Glenn Scrivener, which is being led by someone else. And then after that, my conversation with Glenn and Tom Holland, which, oh, I'm so looking forward to that. And then all the links are below here. And then I'm preaching that Sunday at a small church. I am so excited about the preaching gig. One of the things I wanted to do was I want to see the church. I love the church because the church is the place where all of this abstract, heady stuff becomes flesh. And the glory and the pain and the sorrow and the history and the complexity of it. The church is beautiful. The church is, I mean, it's all the stuff from 1 Corinthians. It's Paul begins with this Thanksgiving section where he's just praising God for all of these things. And as I'll show in the sermon, all of these things have these little negative sides. In fact, their strengths and their weaknesses are just like this, which is almost always true of us. And then I'll be meeting with Justin Brierley. I'm having lunch with him. I'm meeting with David Fuller. There'll be probably a couple other meetups. And as I get those details down, I'll put them in the channel. I'm hoping during this trip to be able to record some stuff with John and Job, like I did in the first trip, and with John and others as we go. The real question will be, can I find internet access sufficient to upload to YouTube? That's almost always the real challenge when I'm traveling. Can I get sufficient bandwidth? Because YouTube files, I mean, these video files tend to be big, even if they're not very long. So, and then of course, in September comes the Thunder Bay event, and I spoke a little bit about that. Wanted to say a couple other little things. There was a lot of questions a couple of weeks ago about what's going to happen with Jordan and him and David Fuller. You know, I did this understanding Jordan Peterson Rebel Wisdom breakup. One of the things about people, and you learn this as a pastor, is that, and I expressed this in the video, context brings out sides. And I think and I hope that we're seeing sort of a return more to the norm of Jordan as expressed through his channel. Now, there's a whole bunch of shorts that came out recently, and when I was actually out east talking to my sister, who has her own YouTube channel, and my niece, who doesn't like social media, we talked about how YouTube is plugging these shorts. And, you know, I mostly interact with YouTube on larger screens. And so I didn't realize how these shorts play in the ad, the YouTube telephone ads, just like TikTok. And that's like, oh, I see what's going on. I don't think the shorts are gonna fly in YouTube. I don't think YouTube's going to be able to sort of displace TikTok in that. I don't think that the shorts as platform is really where it's at. But really heartened to see, you know, again, you've got some clips that are coming through, but just today the conversation with Ian McGilchrist dropped, and McGilchrist again is one of these guys that I really have to dig into. Because what I know of his thesis, especially from his previous book, And from some of the stuff that I've watched with him, I think he's really on to a lot in terms of a lot of issues in this little corner. So I'm very happy that he had this conversation with Jordan. So I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing on the channel. And hopefully, Jordan, you know, Jordan's always had a political aspect. And I remember when I talked to Poe, the person, she said, you know, came for the culture war, stayed for the religion. And I just hope that the always, which is religion, takes a much stronger, has a much stronger presence than the now, which is politics. Not to say that politics isn't important, and not to take away from anybody the politics that they have. One thing I think, again, that you learn is everybody gets to have a politics. Everybody gets to have a religion. You might not like their politics. You might not like their religion. But, again, people express parts of them. So, and I think over the last number of years, we've seen a lot of Jordan. And we know that his political side is a part of him. But, again, the part that I much more deeply
appreciate. One of the things I really found striking
is this part of Jordan that really came through in this conversation. And so, again, I think, again, after the biblical series, with the possible exception of his conversation with Jonathan, the early one, I think this is probably his best video that I've seen in terms of, okay, now we're dealing with some stuff. Now we're doing some work that I think is integral to, and I think actually John Vervaeke is super helpful in talking about why. Oh, there's just so much in this video, and it was such a long time in coming, and I'm so glad it happened. And okay, you know, I was critical of the Daily Wire thing. If Daily Wire is going to be able to allow Jordan to continue to make these kinds of videos, I won't complain. I won't complain. And you know, I can easily skip over some of the other, you know, some of the other stuff that is perhaps not my cup of tea. Yet at the same time, you know, I listen on Twitter, and somebody who writes fairly often, I think it was Zach, said, you know, he said, well, my father watched that message to the Christian churches and really helped him. Part of what goes on here is, of course, scaling. There's the number of people that keep as close a tabs on his channel as I do is really, really small. The number of people that watch one thing from him every month or 6 months or a year just grows like this. And so there's going to be some complexity in that. I also want to get back, and this will sort of be a prolegomena, a way into, so Nathan made a very derogatory comment on Twitter about that video, and I think, I understand why Nathan is saying that, but I think he's wrong. But when I think about the roles that each of us has to play, and, you know, I'm not a psychologist, I'm, you know, not an artist. I'm not a cognitive scientist. I'm a pastor. That's who and what I am. And I see my role in many ways as trying to take a lot of this abstraction and make it digestible for the rest of the 95%, or at least maybe 30 or 40% of that 95%. None of us can do it for everyone. And again, that's why you need a community and a church and a body and all of those things. And so I want to take what I think was my favorite part of the Oliver Sacks book on the simple and talk about that, because part of what I understand, I should find Nathan's tweet. Oh yeah, here it is. Utter gibberish nonsense. No, it wasn't nonsense. It is abstract. And it comes in the middle of a conversation. And that's part of the difficulty, it's why someone is flirting with the idea of doing a documentary on this little corner in order to add context, because like many conversations, it's hard to come in the middle of. When my children were small, my wife basically made a rule that you get two who what's each day. What do you mean by that? It means that when you've got a group of, and we often had neighborhood kids around, so 5, 6, 8, 10 people around, and there's a lot of talking and things going back, someone in a different conversation says something that gets the attention of more people, and then they want to get up to speed in the conversation. It's difficult to do because the conversation is almost a living thing. It sort of has a life of its own. And then to come in at a different point is really difficult. And of course, depending on your aptitude and your background, sometimes you can come in. But this conversation here dropped into, I think, what in many ways, so it's, you know, of course, it's in 2019, June of 2019. Jordan basically starts his medical leave, doesn't resurface until pretty much into the pandemic. And then we've got the pandemic. And so this conversation was, I think, in some ways, a start of a whole new chapter, potentially, where we can do live conversations, yet recorded. But that's what Thunder Bay is going to be about. That's what some of these meetings I'm doing in Europe are going to be about. Live conversations, beginning to get to know each other, beginning to knit together nodes, network, community. And it's, again, all the way back to 1 Corinthians. It's part of the wisdom of the church is the recognition that it's communities with the quality of relationship between each other that becomes the backbone by which there can be personal transformation, there can be communal transformation, and there can be world transformation. And it doesn't come from any one of us sort of organizing it. It's above us and beyond us. And of course, as a Christian, it is God's work that he does through us and with us as he knits these things together. So I just had to say something today, even if I don't have time to go into it more deeply, but I'm very excited about this conversation. I'm very excited about what this conversation means. I'm very excited about now after this pandemic and all of the closings and everything. I pray for the day that Jonathan Peugeot is allowed to get on an airplane, because then I'm going to fly his butt to Sacramento. Same with Vervaeke. Now, Peterson, he's on a different trajectory. Still haven't had my conversation with Jordan yet, but I hope that will come. But it's in the knitting together of the relationships. Again, what John Vervaeke just said there at the end was so crucial.
So I just wanted to state that.
Well, that's a good place to end, I think. I wrote, can show and have it to the higher. I think we should do what I'm doing is proposition. Here's its complexity, and there's some real utility in just seeing the full complexity, walking through it.
And it's not me seeing it, it's us seeing it together. And what happens in a conversation like this is they're all putting things in the middle and they're starting to see it together and they're poking at it and they're testing it, but they're seeing something together. And now, you know, via YouTube, they can sort of have that recorded in a way that it would be difficult to have it recorded in a book, okay? And in some ways, confessions and church documents and theology is sort of like that, but this is sort of a new way to create something.
I mean, this is also, right, this is also, I think, a genuine act of fellowship or even friendship, because...
And so, you know... Fellowship is, of course, a deeply important Christian word, which John knows very well. It's koinonia. It's, of course, the church is the ecclesia. It's the gathering. And it's Now, of course, in the church, it's fellowship in Christ Jesus, and that comes through in the Thanksgiving piece in 1 Corinthians. I should probably just read it because I've talked about it enough. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. And, you know, that's a big... See, as a Christian, I look at what is John looking for? What is Jordan looking for? Obviously, what Jonathan is looking for is they're looking for the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Okay, this is very abstract. That's way too abstract. The church itself becomes the revelation of Jesus Christ in the world. That's what the church's mission is. Does it fail at it? Absolutely. Do all our individual instantiations of it fall short? Absolutely. But that's its telos. That's what it's doing. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the day of this Lord, this apocalyptic vision that comes through again and again and again in Paul. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, now, of course, at Corinth, they had huge problems with all of these things. But,
The more you do that, the more responsive you can make your argument to people who want to engage with it.
Of course. That's exactly, we're trying to get to a diverse range of tools that are grounded on something as rock solid as we can manage.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Thanks for
then
writing
we don't
us.
Need a hermeneutics yes, of suspicion.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's a great line because, yeah. Anyway, so again, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to dig into this video. I want to set it up with first setting up sort of what this whole practice is about and talk about that in the light of the simple via Oliver Sacks. And then maybe next week I can start digging into some of these parts of it. Because again, I don't think, with a possible exception of his talk with Peugeot, I think this is the most important Jordan Peterson video since the biblical series. So there.